Get wall-to-wall savings at your hometown floor store. Affordable Floors in Abbey Carpets. 1512 Osprey Drive. Across from Windmaster Market in Hood River. Online at affordablefloorshr.com.
98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Del Carpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
And good morning. It is 8:04. I'm Mark Bailey, Mid-Columbia Today, as it is. I'm trying to find where my volume is here. My volume is there. I must have put myself in the... Plug myself... No, it's not you, camera. I plugged myself into the wrong jack here. I'm in four. Well, I pulled this out because we used it for the football game. You know, helps on the broadcast there. And I put it back in this morning and didn't pay attention to what I was doing. But anyway, good morning, everyone. On what is, it's an odd week today for a lot of folks because you have Monday. And then some of you are not working tomorrow on Veterans Day. Some of you are. I will be here tomorrow morning. And then you go back to Wednesday through Friday. So it's kind of it's a chopped up week. We do this a couple times in November because for some folks, Thanksgiving, Friday, they work the next day. So it's chopped up again. But nonetheless, that's what the calendar tells us. What we're going to do this morning is talk Hood River County. Commissioner Jennifer Ewer and County Administrator Allison Williams, they are here in the studio. We'll talk Forest. We'll talk a little bit about the Veterans Service Office. We'll talk a little bit about, budgets again, because that's going to be a big topic over time here. But first, as we always do, let's tell you what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. This day in 1775, the U.S. Marines were organized under authority of the Continental Congress. This day in 1898, in Wilmington, North Carolina, a mob of as many as 2,000 white supremacists killed dozens of African Americans, burned black-owned businesses, and forced the mayor, police chief, and alderman to resign at gunpoint before installing their own mayor and city council in what became known as the Wilmington Coup. 1954, the U.S. Marine Corps Memorial depicting the raising of the American flag on Iwo Jima in 1945 was dedicated by President Dwight D. Eisenhower in Arlington, Virginia. 1969, the children's educational program Sesame Street made its debut on PBS. It was then National Educational Television. 1975, the Great Lakes freighter SS Edmund Fitzgerald sank after being caught in a severe storm on Lake Superior. All 29 crew members were lost, and Gordon Lightfoot wrote a song about it that you probably have heard or know. 2019, Bolivian President Evo Morales resigned for weeks of public protests in response to alleged election fraud in Bolivia's general election the previous month. And in 2021, Kyle Rittenhouse took the stand in his murder trial, testifying he was under attack and acting in self-defense when he shot and killed two men and wounded a third during a turbulent fight of street protests in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He would be acquitted of all the charges. Days for today. It's area code day today. They came up with these in the 40s. Hard to imagine we could operate now without them. It's International Accounting Day today. It's National Civic Pride Day today. And it's National Forget-Me-Not Day, and I'm not sure what that is supposed to mean, but there you go. I would think that would almost be Valentine's time, but okay. And for food today, it's basic, but it's good. It's a National Vanilla Cupcake Day today. So have yourself a nice basic vanilla cupcake. There it is for what it's worth. May not be a whole lot. 8:07, we'll come back, talk Hood River County after this.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Ever wonder why the big wireless companies want you on an unlimited plan? It's because they need you to help cover the costs of the 20-somethings who are using a lot of data every month. Fact is, according to the latest research studies, most people 50 and up, like me, only use 12 gigs or less each month. Don't get bamboozled by big wireless. At Consumer Cellular, pick what suits your needs. Whether it's 1 gig, 5, 10, or unlimited, the point is, pay for exactly what you need and nothing more. We use the same towers as the big guys, but since we don't own and maintain them, we can pass the savings on to you. Our plans start at just $20 a month, and you'll get the best customer service in the business. I want to invite you to join the millions of people who choose something better than big wireless. Because if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit consumercellular.com/fax or a store near you. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts. Hey, it's Angela from Cedar Creek Alpacas. We love this time of year. It means baby alpacas. Come meet the newest, cutest members of the herd, stroll the pastures, and stop by the alpaca shop to see what's new. Got family visiting? Bring them out and experience why we were voted best of the gorge for attraction and family entertainment. Cedar Creek Alpacas is a great place for holiday shopping. We have gifts for everyone, from 1 to 100. It's fun, it's fluffy, and it's all waiting for you at Cedar Creek Alpacas, just 15 minutes west of the Hood River Bridge in Cook, Washington.
If you have care experience and want to run your own small business, opening an adult foster home might be right for you. Provide 24-hour care for older adults, people with physical disabilities, or mental health needs in your home or home you rent. Make a difference by helping people stay independent and live with dignity. Visit oregon.gov/adult-foster-home to learn more. That's oregon.gov/adult-foster-home. Sponsored by the Oregon Department of Human Services, the Oregon Health Authority, and this station.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
We are back here. It is 8:10 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. All of a sudden, we're going to discuss whether we should be buying gadgets here. I'm not sure how we got there, but there you go. I keep telling folks we ought to do a pay-per-listen of the off-air stuff. But then we might lose guests. I don't know. Hood River County Commission Chair Jennifer Urey, Administrator Allison Williams are here. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And let's jump out talking about something Monday night of last week, I think it was. You guys had an open house about forest policy and county forest management. And what led to you doing this in the first place? What was kind of the chain of events here other than just simply, Jennifer, a review of what you're doing?
Well, it was an opportunity for the public to weigh in on what they think about the current forest plan. And so every 10 years, we relook at the forest plan, and that's what we're doing now. It's time to do that again, and we're going through that. And one of our first moves is to present the existing plan and ask for input. So that's what we did Monday night, and we had quite a few people there, and the recreation communities well organized, and there were quite a few people there, and they'll have another chance to weigh in when we talk specifically about the recreation plan. But in addition, there were several other people. We had Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. We had people from the forestry committee, the Forestry Advisory Committee that Doug Theses has. And the thing that we probably heard the most was how grateful people are and appreciative they are of how Doug and TJ manage their recreation in the county forest. There was nothing but appreciation for how well they communicate and what a good job he does of integrating what they're doing with harvesting in the forest. But the other thing that was brought up was the obvious point that, as you know, we have a very low tax rate, and the tax rate in Hood River County was set at a time when we had both federal and county timber receipts. And so we need to be careful that, since we can't change that tax rate, we need to be careful that we do not change the amount of receipts we're getting off the county forest. Mm-hmm.
And maybe we should step back a second. I mean, if the people who have lived in Hood River County for any period of time probably understand what you just said, Jennifer. But there may be others. Hood River County is fairly unique in this, in that the revenue you gain from county timber holdings, both historically and right up to today, how vital they are to county operations. I mean, Allison, it's probably been a learning curve for you as when you came here.
Absolutely. There's some amazing similarities between Hood River County and where I came from in Chelan County with the impact of the federal forest and the amount of taxable land. Same in Hood River County. 25% of our land pays, you know, the full freight of property taxes because we have the benefit of the federal lands and county lands. And our county receipts are 28.8% of this budget year's general fund revenues. And that's not insignificant when you look at the support of our employees and all the services we provide across the county.
You mentioned, did Chelan County have those kind of forest holdings themselves? Or?
Not themselves, no. It's federal.
And then that's where I think the uniqueness comes in here with Hood River County. And so that means there's always been, you know, there's a reliance, essentially, on what these forest lands bring in. And Jennifer, the management of these lands, you just mentioned that. The county historically, it's been fairly conservative in how it manages it, hasn't it? In terms of, it doesn't look to and go, oh, we need more money, let's chop.
Not only has it not been, yes, it's been managed conservatively. And I don't know, we've talked about this before on the show, but to remind people, the carbon project that we were able to enroll in, and this is a little hard to explain, I don't want to go way into it, but the difference between how long we wait to harvest and how short a period we could use for our harvest return. Mm-hmm. In other words, we return every 80 to 100 years, and commercially we could return every 40 to 60, and a lot of privately held land does that. So because we manage in this conservative way, we are able to enroll in this carbon sequestration program without changing our practices. Yeah. So yes, the short answer is yes, we have managed very conservatively, very carefully, and abided by all rules in the forest, and yes.
Actually, you just brought up the carbon plan, the carbon credit sales. How is that going right now?
Over time, what's happened is, as that carbon market has matured, there's more pressure to diminish that delta, I don't know how else to put it, because as regulations on forestry increase, that the bottom of it, the amount that people are allowed to harvest commercially, if they max out what they can do, has gone up a little bit. So the difference between what we're doing and what's required elsewhere has changed a little bit, not very much. Mm-hmm. And so the prices have gone down a little bit, but
on the
carbon market.
Right.
But they're also selling something different, which is a different is a different delta. So that has changed a little bit, and we haven't finalized what we're doing. But, we're moving forward on that because it's still a good deal.
And a lot of that on the carbon market, there is a long-term play, isn't there?
Yes, because that way we would not be able to change. You're talking about whether or not we would ever have less conservative forestry practices. Well, we can't do that if we get in the carbon sequestration market, because that obligates us to 40 years at this rate. And that's part of the reason we're doing it, so that not only have we never done that because it would be a bad plan, but this would really set the rules for the commissions going forward.
So what is the timber market like right now out there? I think if I remember right, and I don't remember all the ins and outs here, but the county you use in budgeting, I think it's like a 10-year rolling average, something along those lines. What's the market out there right now for the county's timber? I mean, is it
you
good,
know,
bad, et cetera?
It is. Again, I tip my hat to our forest management team. Mm-hmm. We have been laying out sales and putting together conservative estimates, and have had good bids and good results to our sales, and that continues. I think the unknown is, you know, what's going to happen with the federal market? How will that impact us? But for right now, we have really great relationships, and we are managing to see some incremental growth in our receipts.
Now, if I remember,
it's not multiple percentage points, but it's
stable though.
Stable.
It's stable.
Yes.
But I thought maybe you mentioned off air, Jennifer, that there is some. You did get some input, it sounds like, at the last meeting about maybe expanding the county's forest holdings. Is that right?
Well, we're always in the position of expanding the county's forest holdings if possible. We have a fund that is just for expanding our holdings so that we can have higher revenue. And as we do that, some of that could also go into the carbon sequestration market. So, we are always doing that.
Mm-hmm. But it's not imminent, though, it sounds like, either.
It's not necessarily imminent, and it's not necessarily X number of acres. I mean, it's something that we constantly are looking at. And, we always have some things that are optional that we're talking about. Yep.
So where do you go with this forest policy discussion? You mentioned this is an every decade review. Where do you go from here after you go through the open house process?
There is a process ahead of us that will probably take the next year. The intent off of the open house is for our forestry manager to come back to the commission in January with the policy and to identify if there's anything that we would change in the upfront policy and goals based on the input received. And once that is set, then we head into the planning process. And I know our staff is considering, you know, how that work will happen during the next year. They will write parts. We may have a consultant just do a quick update. I know Doug's been keeping a very diligent list of some of the nuances that need to be changed in the plan.
And you mentioned, Jennifer, heard a lot about the recreation partnership going so well. I'm assuming those elements are probably going to remain as they are.
I think that, yeah, everybody is is wanting to continue to have that good relationship, yes.
And I think what they've seen is our forestry recreation team, and again, tip our hat to Doug and TJ, have been really successful with grant writing and creating a partnership with Oregon Parks and Recreation Department for recreation enhancements. So that's been great.
Actually, this is on yet off topic a little bit here. I just haven't talked about it in a while. You know, a couple of years ago, the county instituted, Jennifer, the forest pass, the parking passes at certain locations, access points for trails. How has that gone? I mean,
it's gone very well. Yeah. It's raised revenue, and people comply with it. So it's pretty much been win-win.
I'll say that number three, I think, was the big one there. People comply with it. I think that was always the question, wasn't it? Would people actually do this? And they are.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, of course, that money goes, what you just mentioned, Allison, into enhancements.
Right. It helps us. The recreation component of our forestry division is self-funding. And so those recreation passes are directly related to the staff that we're able to put out there in the field.
Let's move back into, it seems that every county commission now meeting, there is some discussion about long-term financial planning, which obviously, because that's kind of front and center for a lot of things right now. Allison, you were bringing in, I think, a consultant to do I don't want to make it sound like I'm being facetious here, another study, but we had one a few years ago. What are we trying to do this time?
So this is partnering up to prior efforts. So the organizational assessment to look at how the county should be structured. I think there's much more opportunity in the near term as we look at facilities to look at what staffing would look like if we were more co-located. And then out of that is the fiscal sustainability analysis. I for one, as a public practitioner, think it's really good to have a third party come in and look at how you're doing things and do some comparative analysis to understand how you could be structured and what might be out there that we're not thinking about in terms of our fiscal operation. We also have new leadership in place. We have a new public works director. We have new HR. Different leadership brings different perspectives in terms of how we work together. And so I look forward to some creative ideas that might come out of the woodwork. Frankly, it's a necessity for the county as we move forward to be able to be slimmer so that we can live within our revenues. I think particularly with the uncertainty on the federal and state level, I'm hearing a lot about local resources and what you're able to do with your local resources.
I'll say, with the uncertainty of the federal and state level, which really uncertain right now, does it make it difficult to go through this process? Because I would imagine right now there's got to be the thought of really having no idea what either of those levels are going to do right now. We know the state's going to deal with a budget problem and yet send $1.4 billion back in kicker funds, but that's another discussion to be had. And of course, the federal level right now, you don't know what you're getting. I would think that makes local projections really difficult.
Well, I think we need to be clear in terms of the, you know, the statutory services we're providing and what we're providing with our funds, mm-hmm. because I think the board has laid out really clear policy direction in terms of our hiring, that we're very transparent about we're hiring people, but these are with grant funds, and recognizing that grant funds come and go. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think we have to be very eyes wide open about that. Piece yeah. of what we're doing.
And also this will give us helpful input when we do have to deal with lower funding about how to manage that. And mm-hmm. I think no matter what happens on the federal level, we need, this will be good guidance on how to manage that.
Mm-hmm. And of course, there is a reality that some departments are more dependent on those federal and state funds than others.
That's correct.
I mean, I guess the health department comes right to mind.
Correct.
A lot of their funding comes from there. I imagine it's fair to say, Jennifer, Hood River County, with its resources, backfilling isn't an option, is it? I mean, I would not think so anyway.
No.
Allison's shaking her head.
So am I.
Yeah, I'm just kind of, I felt like just going there just because I felt like we should. Mm-hmm. And this actually gets back to, I've heard the term unfunded mandates from local government officials, not just Hood River County, but both sides of the river, for years.
They're a thing.
They are a thing. Do you worry about getting more of them?
We do.
You know, that has always been, frankly, especially at the state level, a state tactic for their budget has been basically to toss it down to the local level as if that money is magically available to you.
And there's also, you know, every time you open the paper, Oregon is saying, you know, we're not going to get this from the feds, but we're going to try and provide it as Oregon. And I'm not sure that seems like an arithmetic problem to me.
Mm-hmm. There is an arithmetic problem there. In some cases, I think they're probably doing the right thing. In some cases, they probably aren't. But there will still come a time when you got to look at that pocketbook and go, there's only so much you can do.
Well, and I think a really local example of that is with the transportation effort that we just put forth that will still be ongoing.
Right.
You know, I think people tried to pin that all on ODOT's budget, and then ODOT looking to counties and cities for mutual response when that package impacted all of us.
Right. Well, yeah. Because there was so much discussion about whether or not ODOT's used the money or not correctly, and I think there's a debate to be had there without question. But my point of the whole thing was 50% of this package was going to counties and cities.
Exactly.
And why are we holding counties and cities hostage? Well, you have that discussion, which will take forever and be politically charged. And there won't be a resolution on probably for a good two sessions.
Right.
At that point.
Right. And as I drive through this county and I look at the roads that are state roads, there's some significant issues out there. We have alligatoring asphalt and, you know, we have some huge needs in this county that are dependent on that partnership.
So yeah, there's a lot to go through here. And then you add in, Jennifer, discussions on, I don't think you've done here any lately, so I don't think there's anything to update here, but you know, you were going to look at, since that option passed for public safety this, what about here just recently, the renewal
last year.
Mm-hmm. Last year. Looking at other options. Have we done much of that yet, or is that maybe going to come after we get this study done?
Have we gone a show or two without discussing this?
Probably a show or two,
it must be
yes.
time.
Yeah, well... I'm the one who said I'd keep bringing it up, so I'm going to keep bringing it up.
And I'm glad you do. We have to keep bringing it up, and because it's a real thing, and if we do not figure out some other extra funding, we are going to be in a lot of trouble. So we have to continue to discuss this. The options haven't changed. Mm-hmm. We can do maybe a food and beverage tax, which if you ask people that tried to pass it, they're concerned because it didn't pass last time, but most people in the community I talk to would like to see a way to have a tax that got at some of the tourism activities. So, yeah.
In fairness, there were two efforts on that. One effort.
Exactly.
I remember walking into the hearing. I'd been at something else. Walked into the place, and it was going to crash and burn right there because frankly, the industries that would be taxed here or have their customers taxed in this with a food and beverage tax did not like it. I doubt that has changed. But then the second one, if I remember correctly, that vote came. It was on the ballot with another measure.
Right. And you put both of them up, the levy and the food and bev tax up at the same time, and they both failed.
Right.
And when we did just the levy, it passed. So had we only done the tax, would it have passed? You know, we'll never know.
Yeah.
But obviously having them both in the same place was a bad idea. So clearly we need to do that differently. So it's hard. It's kind of hard to know how people would feel if they were doing just one.
I don't know of any agency that's had great success putting two ballot measures out at the same time and have it work. That's just...
Well, maybe that was a lesson learned.
Yeah, I would think so anyway. I would
give
think
them credit
so.
Though for their ambition. Absolutely.
I'm not sure I could even do that. Just because the political reality of it to me is just so bad when you put two measures on. When you ask voters for two sets of taxes, you're just
and just wait.
Yeah. Well,
with everybody thinking of everything.
And I have been through that on this show, and I think it's probably going to be. If every agency puts something on the ballot in 2026, it would not shock me if none of them pass, because that goes down to, and this part I know the calculation you have to go through. Now you have to do the calculation of, okay, how much can the county citizens bear?
It becomes their arithmetic problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be, but it's also. When planning a measure that you hope passes, it has to be your arithmetic problem too.
Right.
Because you have to sit there and go, okay, what realistically can we ask our voters to do at that stage? And
well, what I mean is then they have to look at the ballot and do their own calculations of stuff if there's an awful lot of things on the ballot.
And everybody will have a different priority list in their mind. Because you're going to have that X percentage that will vote against anything. It doesn't matter what you do, for what it's for, they're going to vote against it. So you've got that percentage right off the top. That exists all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really have a similar percentage that will vote for anything no matter what. Eventually, everybody has a price limit. And that becomes the great juggling act here for the community of Hood River County as a whole. If you're going to have all these districts asking for, and I'm not denigrating anybody's perceived need for anything here, but if everybody goes at the same time, it's just going to be mutually assured destruction in my mind. But I'm giving a little editorialish here, but I don't think I'm saying anything that people don't already know.
Right. And I think it, for those of us who have essential needs, it becomes pretty daunting. And as you know, the other thing that we're going to be discussing is our facilities. We're going to have a final report with a couple of options at our commission meeting next week. And you know, we've looked at a phased approach, so obviously the dollars are somewhat more manageable, but it's going to take significant participation on the part of the state as well as locally. And so do essential facilities, compete with other interests? And that's what we have to figure out.
I'm going to jump to a couple other things here because we're going to talk about this for a long time, I think. Veterans Service Office, Allison.
Yes.
It's a good day to mention it because, of course, tomorrow's Veterans Day. And
yes.
The Veterans Service Office, Hood River County. What's happening?
Well, I just want to highlight that we have moved them into our courthouse, and they have a beautiful office located there. It is accessible, and they are doing great things in terms of getting our veterans signed up for services. They're now aligned with our health department, and so that mutual benefit has been great in terms of things. I would just, you've been doing a really great job of highlighting the veterans events that are on. There is an Elks breakfast this Saturday morning for veterans also.
Okay, I did not know that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And some people may drive by our office and see a green light in our office. And so that is an Association of Counties national effort to highlight the importance of our veterans in our in the overall fabric of our country. So you'll see our green light on.
And we this, you know, you mentioned unfunded mandates, et cetera. We should note that the counties are the ones who are expected to provide these veteran service officers.
Yes.
And they're important. They need to exist.
Yes.
But it is, though, just kind of, it is, though, an example also of the county is being asked to provide something that they really aren't funded for.
We get a video lottery grant.
Yeah, that helps.
But in order to get that grant, we had to have expanded our services. And so that grant we received a long time ago, but it's a constant management issue. If, again, with, you know, federal dollars, state dollars, if you don't have the spend down, they watch you. And this is a service that is getting re-energized in our county, I think. Lynetta is doing a fabulous job, and she cares deeply about the role she's playing.
And Jennifer, you want to mention real quick, tomorrow with the Veterans Day service, and we should note the Veterans Day ceremony at River of Life Assembly of Church, that last I was told a week ago, you can't get into it. People had to pre-register for it, and you can't get in, but you can see it on the Anderson Tribute Center. I'm sorry, I dated myself. Anderson Tribute Center Facebook page. You can watch it streamed, and then at 1 o'clock, where I think you're going to be out at the marker on Highway 35. Highway 35.
Highway 35.
Highway 35. But you're going to be out there helping to cut the ribbon on the marker.
Yes.
For the Nisei event and the Nisei Veterans Memorial for the Veterans Memorial Highway that was established 3 years ago, I think it was.
Yep. And yeah, it's a great thing.
So you're going to, that's at 1 o'clock. So you're going to be out. And it's going to be nice too, by the way. Sunny.
Good.
Mid to upper 50s.
All right.
Somehow it's Veterans Day is the one, because then Wednesday it goes right back into to clouds and rain again.
Yep.
But, well, which is good, because I know that Al says their Veterans Day parade, all those things. So everything works out.
I think we have Wednesday morning before it.
Oh, it could be, too. Maybe Wednesday morning also.
I watch the weather.
You really, in your orchard business, you watch the weather. I'm shocked by this.
All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Jennifer Ewer and Allison Williams, thanks for doing this.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
8:36 in the morning. We'll come back with the news right after this.
If you're 55 or older and into that whole saving money thing, T-Mobile has an exclusive phone and internet bundle just for you. Right now, get 2 unlimited phone lines plus 5G home internet for just $30 each per month with autopay, plus taxes and fees. And with 5G home internet, setup is easy with just one cord and no technician needed, which is great if you're also into that whole keeping it simple thing. Switch now and experience the best mobile network in the U.S. Visit your local store to start saving. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, Q4 2024 to Q1 2025, Ookla trademarks used under license. Unlimited on our network. Customers on voice plan may notice speeds lower than other customers and further reduction if using more than 50 gigs a month due to data prioritization. Video streams and SD on this plan. Home internet pricing after $20 in monthly bill credit plus $5 per line without autopay. Debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
As a combat wounded veteran, I know how hard it is to come home and build a meaningful life. When I was in Iraq, our vehicle was hit. A rocket-propelled grenade exploded right under my seat. Traumatic brain injury, fractured pelvis, severe burns. They didn't think I was going to make it. I had to learn to walk again and live with the scars, both physical and invisible.
This Veterans Day, the day when our nation says, "Thank you, veterans." If you're looking for a way to honor a veteran in a way that's meaningful, here's a list of suggestions from Brown Roofing. Attend a local veterans event. Donate to a veterans-focused charity. Properly fly an American flag. Ask a veteran about their service. Visit a VA hospital or get outdoors with a veteran. From Brown Roofing, thank you, veterans, for serving our country and protecting our freedoms. On Veterans Day and every day, Brown Roofing honors you with gratitude.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
And it is now 8:38 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Checking on the news right now, some new signs are coming to highways entering Wasco County. Wasco County Veterans Services, in a partnership where the Oregon Department of Transportation will be putting up new Entering Wasco County signs at 7 different entry points, adding the byline, "We Honor Veterans." Wasco County Veterans Services Officer Chelsea Parrott told county commissioners it's patterned on other signs that she has seen while traveling. The signs will be installed at entry points to the county on highways 26, 30, 97, 197, 216, and 218. The county commission approved $3,700 for the signs, and Parrott says she's applying for grants to attempt to offset that money. The Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Area planning prescribed fire operations starting this week, pending required approvals. The agency estimates the work to continue over a few weeks as weather conditions allow. Prescribed fires planned for the area include pile burnings in the Drano Lake area in Skamania County and the Herman Creek Horse Camp area and the Wyeth Pit area east of Herman Creek in Hood River County. Prescribed fires are used to help reduce overgrown vegetation, help protect local communities, infrastructure, and natural resources from wildfires. Watch for warning signs along roads near all prescribed fire areas before and during burns. Residents may experience smoke during the prescribed burns. The NSA will evaluate weather conditions in the hours before a burn begins. If conditions warrant, scheduled prescribed fire activities may be canceled. A federal judge in Oregon ruling that President Donald Trump's administration failed to meet the legal requirements for deploying the National Guard to Portland after the city and state sued in September to block the deployment. The ruling from U.S. District Court Judge Karen Immergut, a Trump appointee, followed a three-day trial last week in which both sides argued over whether protests at the city's Immigration and Customs Enforcement building met the conditions for using the military domestically under federal law. In a 106-page opinion, Immergut found that even though the president is entitled to great deference in his decision on whether to call up the Guard, he did not have a legal basis for doing so because he did not establish there was a rebellion or danger of rebellion, or that he was unable to enforce the law with regular forces. Oregon's two largest electric utilities saying they will halt service disconnections for qualified low-income and medically vulnerable customers until the end of the year. Pacific Power serves more than 860,000 customers in Oregon, Washington, and California, the vast majority in Oregon. It'll halt disconnections for qualified customers until the end of the year. The company has more than 68,000 Oregon customers enrolled in its low-income discount programs and nearly 2,700 certified as medically vulnerable. Portland General Electric is doing the same thing. Data from the Oregon Public Utility Commission shows that more than 28,000 customers of the two utilities had their service disconnected in the first half of 2025. More recent figures were not immediately available. The temporary moratorium comes after a multi-year period when rates have increased significantly and disconnections have spiked. Meanwhile, the federal government shutdown has delayed any funding for the low-income home energy assistance program, which provided $41 million in bill payment assistance for Oregonians in 2025. Weather today going to be cloudy. There still is a chance of rain. We might see a little sun later on in the day, and it's supposed to be sunny tomorrow. High temperatures figure to be in the upper 50s to low 60s. The wind's up to 10 miles per hour. Currently 51 degrees in Stevenson, 49 in Hood River, 46 in the Dalles. It is 8:41 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today.
Hi, this is Zach from Del Carpine Automotive. We're so excited to operate in our new location, just a stone's throw away from our old shop. A family-run business since 2003, Del Carpine continues to provide exceptional auto repair service for both foreign and domestic vehicles, even Sprinter vans. From simple oil changes to complex engine restorations, our experienced team is here to keep you safely on the road. Visit us at our great new location or give us a call at 541-386-3133. Del Carpine Automotive, family-owned and locally trusted.
They sacrificed and gave the rest of us time to build a life and a yard to come home to. This Veterans Day, Gorgeous Lawn Care honors those who served and the quiet work they did for all of us. From Gorgeous Lawn Care to every veteran in the Gorge, we remember your sacrifice and your long nights away. Gorgeous Lawn Care asks the community this November, offer to help a veteran who could use a hand, share a story of someone who served, or check on a neighbor. Happy Veterans Day from Gorgeous Lawn Care.
Hi, I'm John Hamm, and let me tell you about how you can help families at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Here, your generosity ensures that families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food, so they can focus on helping their child live. Help St. Jude give children the greatest gift, a chance at a lifetime.
This holiday, help St. Jude find more cures for more children. Donate now at musicgives.org.
Fall is in full swing here in the Gorge, and there's no better time to stop by Farmgrass Table. We're keeping things fresh with rotating daily specials, a loyalty program that gives back, and shelves packed with top-shelf flower and budget-friendly favorites. Whether you're cozying up for fall or stocking up for the weekend, we've got good vibes and great deals waiting for you. You can't miss us from I-84. Look for the red roof and big green sign, just off exit 62 on Westcliff Drive in Hood River.
Do not operate a vehicle or machinery under the influence of this drug. For use by adults 21 years of age or older, keep out of reach of children.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And we're at 8:43 in the morning of Mid-Columbia Today. Tomorrow on our little radio program, we're going to talk, first part of the program, Hood River Valley High School's canned food drive is coming up. The students come out, go out and collect canned food for the Fish Food Bank, and we've, I think, already illustrated over the last few weeks how heavy the need is for help for our food banks, given all that's going on. So it's a very important effort. They always do a great job, those kids, and we will have a couple of students here, I believe, and we're going to talk about where they're going to be, what they'll be trying to do. There's a competition involved here among the classes. It works out great. And so we'll talk about that tomorrow morning. And also tomorrow, Wasco County Commissioner Scott Hagee is going to be here. And we'll talk about what they are up to right now. Of course, they extended the state of emergency for the Rowena fire because that's what you do to make sure you can continue to access resources. Wednesday, Hood River Police Chief Neil Holstein is going to stop by. We're going to talk about homeless issues. Last city council meeting in Hood River a couple weeks ago, a group of folks from a neighborhood who have been dealing with this apparently came and expressed their frustration with, frankly, getting some conflicting information as far as what can be done when you start to have a homeless encampment in a park in your neighborhood. So we'll talk to Neil, kind of go through the ins and outs of what they can and can't do. Plus, we'll talk Hood River County Health Department on Wednesday, Darren Ryan. Thursday is actually TBA right now. We're not quite sure what we're doing Thursday. And Friday, we'll talk Columbia Gorge Discovery Center. So plenty of stuff coming up over the next few days on the program. And hopefully you'll be joining us for that. Well, I had a couple minutes here. And if you are of a certain age, my age, and maybe a little younger, maybe a little older, a very prominent figure in Northwest sports passed away yesterday, Lenny Wilkins, 3-time inductee into the Basketball Hall of Fame. He's been enshrined as a player and a coach. Died at the age of 88 on Sunday. His family said he was surrounded by loved ones when he died. Cause of death not immediately released at this point, but in the Northwest, I think, well, I shouldn't say that. I know he played for the Sonics, but I think most folks remember him specifically as a coach. He played and coached the Portland Trailblazers just before they would win the NBA title in 76-77. He was the coach the previous two seasons, player coach for the first season. NBA had a lot of those over the years. He might have been the last one, actually, that was a player coach. There may be somebody that also served as that. But and he was the first coach for Bill Walton. And they were the best two seasons at the time in Blazer history, but they were losing seasons. And, of course, he was dismissed. And Jack Ramsey came along, and the Blazers got the infusions from the ABA, and it's the dispersal draft out of that, and became, of course, the Blazer team that would win the championship the following year after Lenny left. But Wilkins then went on, became the coach of the Sonics in Seattle, where he would be an icon, got to the NBA Finals in 1978, won the title in 1979. It was the high point of the Sonics in Seattle. In terms of their popularity, they played in the Kingdome for part of that time, and it was regularly 20, 25,000 in the Kingdome for Sonics games. Was not the best basketball arena in the world. It wasn't the most intimate setting, as you can imagine, but Yeah, you had Gus Williams on that team, Lonnie Shelton, the former Oregon State Beaver. I know I'm missing people here, but that was just a fabulous basketball team. And he also coached other places as well, but Seattle is really where you associate him. Considered a godfather of sorts for basketball in the city. I think between his playing career in the late 60s with the Sonics and then what he did in the late 70s, early 80s coaching that team was remarkable. And there's a statue of him outside the arena in Seattle that was installed in June. And you hope at some point in the NBA's back in that arena at some stage. And I think it's coming here. I think we're fairly close. I think the next expansion, Seattle's going to get a team. I mean, there has been expressed, they left for Oklahoma City, and I know David Stern, the former commissioner, I mean, he really expressed years later that if there was maybe the biggest mistake of his tenure was not stopping that in some way. That should have been stopped. That team should have stayed in Seattle. And he's right. It should have stayed there. There's no question. Even though I will say that there has been a bit of overstatement about the popularity of that team in that city. I can recall after Wilkins, the late 80s, a lot of empty seats in the Seattle Center Coliseum at the time, before Key Arena. A lot of empty seats. They weren't that good either. They probably didn't deserve that many. But I can recall playoff games where there were 8,000 people there. But having said that, the 90s with Gary Payton and Sean Kemp, et cetera, those were great teams. You know, this had the misfortune of coming up and playing, you know, Chicago in the Jordan era. And what would it have been like with Kevin Durant? Yeah, because Kevin Durant played, I think, his rookie season in Seattle before that team moved to Oklahoma City. Well, a lot of NBA history maybe changes if the Sonics never leave Seattle. But going back, Lenny Wilkins, I mean, just one of the icons of Northwest sports. He will be greatly missed. Plus, he was just such a... He was a really good human being. I mean, you know, he was calm on the sidelines. He didn't believe in yelling. He thought that was not a trait of leadership. If you're doing a lot of yelling, you're not really leading that well. He also was NBA coach of the year in the 90s with Atlanta, so he also really crossed over a lot of generations of NBA players of a changing league. He's third now on the coaching list for wins in the NBA. Greg Popovich retired on top, and then it's Don Nelson, and then it's Lenny Wilkins. That's a Hall of Fame coaching trio right there. But he will be missed. Lenny Wilkins, passing away at the age of 88 yesterday. Again, it's kind of one of those things that another little part of your childhood is gone if you're my age. I remember him coaching those Sonic teams. And I remember him coaching the Blazers. I wasn't very old at the time, but I can remember it. And I remember especially the Sonic teams. Those late 70s, early 80s teams, those were great basketball teams. Jack Sikma in the middle. 8:52. We'll come back. Actually, I want to go on and just let's combine the breaks together. So we can just come back and wrap things up for you right after this.
Coverage varies by plan, view contracts, and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
This is an announcement to all United States vehicle owners who own a 2003 or newer vehicle with a manufacturer's warranty about to expire, or no warranty coverage at all. With a struggling economy and the cost of living on the rise, Endurance is now offering an affordable, low-cost vehicle coverage plan to the general public. As of today, you could be one of millions of drivers that now may qualify to have your vehicle protected under this coverage and have all future covered auto repairs paid directly to the repair shop for you. You pick your plan. You pick your deductible. You even pick the repair shop. Roadside service, towing, and rental coverage is included. Get your vehicle protected now and save your wallet from costly vehicle repairs. A toll-free number has been established for you to call for your free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify. The number to call is 800-693-3109. 800-693-3109. Again, that's 800-693-3109.
Do missing teeth keep you from doing the things you love? Maybe you skip dinners with friends, avoid smiling in photos, or can't enjoy a good steak because you're embarrassed or in pain. Imagine turning all that around. Imagine laughing freely, eating confidently, and walking into a room with a smile you're proud of. Friday, November 14th, 5:30 to 6:30, join Mountain River Dental and Associates in Hood River for a free dental implant seminar. Discover how modern implants can restore your smile, your bite, and your confidence.
Oh, Dr. Carley and his team gave me my life back. I can finally smile again and eat what I want without worry.
The first 25 people to call and book their seating will receive full mouth digital x-rays, an exam, and a consultation at no cost. That's a $500 value, absolutely free. But hurry, seats are limited and this event fills up fast. Don't wait to rediscover your confidence. Smile brighter, eat what you love, and live life to the fullest. Call 541-386-3525. That's 386-3525 and reserve your spot today. Mountain and River Dental in Hood River, making smiles healthy and bright.
This Veterans Day, we pause to honor the brave men and women who have served our country with dedication, courage, and sacrifice. From the battlefields of the past to the missions of today, our veterans have stood tall, protecting the freedoms we cherish. From Seal Coat Plus to every veteran, we say thank you. Thank you for your service, your sacrifice, and your unwavering commitment to the United States of America. Join Seal Coat Plus this Veterans Day in saluting the heroes among us. Whether they served in times of peace or war, at home or abroad, they are the true backbone of our nation. This Veterans Day, let's give thanks to those who answer the call of duty. Their legacy is our freedom. From Seal Coat Plus to all veterans, we honor you with gratitude.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR.
And it is 8:55 in the morning. You know, we like to always mention these. Every weekend now, not so much the Thanksgiving weekend itself, but every weekend really into mid-December, there will be the holiday bazaars and the craft shows and the opportunities to get gifts for folks while at the same time helping out various causes in the area. So here's what's coming up this week, at least what we have to this point. If you've got one, you can send it to us, and we will put it onto the list, put it on our events page at gorgeradio.com. But Mount Adams Elks Lodge, Ladies of Elks Holiday Bazaar, is going to be Saturday morning from 9 to 3 at the Mount Adams Elks Lodge in White Salmon. Hood River Church of the Nazarene Christmas Bazaar is from 10 to 3 Saturday. That'll be at 2168 Belmont in Hood River. A benefit art show and sale on Saturday from 10 to 4 at the historic St. Paul's Chapel on 601 Union in the Dalles. Paintings by David Ridge, gourds by Ruth Gordon, and photography by David Gross. Proceeds benefit the preservation of the 1875 St. Paul's Chapel. Donations are tax deductible. And on Sunday, Goldendale Adventist Christian Church, a Christmas craft fair, 10 to 4 at the Lodge on 210 South Columbus Avenue in Goldendale. So we got plenty coming up and more coming up the following weekend. And I'll tell you, especially that first weekend in December, there'll be a bunch of them. So you can check that out. Actually, another thing we should mention, I just got this the other day. I know a lot of people look forward to this. It is Rock the Holidays. The Aaron Meyer Christmas Concert, 14th annual benefit for United Way of the Columbia Gorge. It's coming up on December 7th, that's a Sunday, at the Best Western Plus Hood River and Gorge Room. It'll open up with a kids concert at 1 o'clock, $10 for kids 12 and under, $12 for adults. Regular concert at 4, $30 general admission, $15 for kids 12 and under. Referred tickets, $85, including a glass of wine or beer and appetizers at the pre-concert party at 3:15 that day. Tickets at Wacoma Bookstore, UnitedWayColumbiaGorge.org. We'll talk about it a bit later on Mid-Columbia Today, but it is always, 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 always a big fundraiser for the United Way of the Columbia Gorge as well. So keep that in mind that is coming up. Also, I don't have it in front of me. We'll get on the list, though. West Side Fire, they're going to do their Santa breakfast. I think it is that first weekend of December, if I remember. I don't have the sheet in front of me. I think it's the day before on the 6th of December. Be ready for that as well. It's the annual chance to get pictures with Santa while having a good breakfast. Thanks to the Westside Fire District volunteers and raise money for all the things they do to help keep the West Side area in Hood River County safe from fire. So that is coming up, and that will be on December 6th. We'll get you more details here when it gets closer to time. Well, I don't have a whole lot else to tell you about right now. Veterans Day tomorrow again. We'll talk Hood River Valley High School canned food drive. First part of the show. Second half of the show, Wasco County Commissioner Scott Hagee is going to be in the studio. So that's what we'll plan to do tomorrow on this program. And also remind you again, Sense of Place Season 16 is going to be Wednesday. Mostly Mushrooms, what I discovered when I fell in love with fungus with Krista Cushman. 7 o'clock Wednesday evening, Columbia Center for the Arts and Hood River. Tickets, I know they're getting scarce. Senseofplacegorge.org. They also have a live stream ability if you want to check it out that way. We're done. For Cameron Eisenberg producing, I'm Mark Bailey. Talk to you again on Tuesday.
Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to gorgeradio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
98.3 FM, KIHR, Hood.